Welcome to PRN, Pause, Renew, Next, a podcast about soul care, scripture, and stories of faith. I'm Jenny Detweiler, and friends, you can probably already tell from the intro music that today's episode is a guest interview. And it's not just any guest interview. This one's special. I got to sit down with family for this one. My brother and sister-in-law, Nathan and Dawn Detweiler, and their three kids live in Slovenia. But they were home over the summer in the States, and we got to sit down for a cool conversation that I'm so glad I get to share with you. We are talking about all kinds of things in today's episode, from what ministry for them looks like in Slovenia, what it's like to raise bilingual kids, how they went from church planting into Lego ministry, how Nathan has developed a YouTube channel and what that's been like for him. And the last part of the conversation I really encourage you to stick around for. We're talking about resilience, what resilience has looked like for them in ministry and in their spiritual lives, as well as what it's looked like due to health problems that they've had to go through. This is a really special conversation. I'm really thankful that I get to share it with you. So with that, let's jump into the conversation. Well, welcome, guys. I'm really glad that you guys are here. Would you like to share a little bit about yourselves, your ministry, your family, just like whatever you want to tell people?
Yeah. So I'm actually your brother-in-law, which makes me awesome.
That's right.
Our ministry. So we work in a country called Slovenia. If you follow Italy up the back of the boot, it's the first country you come to. And we do a lot with kids and Legos. So we'll go to different churches and we'll have a Lego workshop that lasts about a week, and the kids will build a city and learn about Jesus. So that's a lot of what we do. Mm-hmm. Would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, that's the big portion of our ministry. And then we've got all the other things that fill our time, like working with our local church and the pastor and his wife, building people up. Giving them the tools and equipping them to do ministry in their local communities, with their neighbors, with their family, and in their jobs, and then also doing things like English clubs in the local schools, making contacts that way, working in different conference venues, and planning and preparing, and just anything that God puts in our path to do and fits in with the goal of our ministry, we'll consider and pick up and do. So lots of Lego, but lots of other little things too.
Yeah. Awesome.
Another thing we do with the Lego ministry is I started making YouTube videos to just tell the Bible stories in a way that I think is useful for the kids to hear and understand the Word of God. And then as growth from that, this past couple of months, we've been actually working on a curriculum to go with the Lego workshop. So we've got a bit going on.
Yeah, you do. So do you guys want to, actually, Dawn, you were one of my first guests on the podcast, like way back in the day. and you guys, your ministry has changed a lot since then too. Your kids have changed, mm-hmm. Your lives have changed. But can you kind of review for those who maybe didn't listen or listened like 8 years ago or something? How did you guys end up in Slovenia and how long have you been there?
So we've been in Slovenia for 15 years. This past June, we crossed that 15-year mark. And our journey there was kind of silly, kind of a fun way that God called us, but we knew we had been wanting to go into full-time ministry since college, and we just didn't know where. We felt God calling both of us individually, and those are other stories, but God called us both individually at the same time, and then the call to Slovenia came a couple of years later after we got married. We went down to join up with an organization, and we were looking at all of the different teams and areas that organization sent missionaries out to, and started making a list of all of the places that looked cool and would be exciting to go to or had ministry that we would like to be involved with. And the list kept growing and growing. And we looked at each other like, well, we're not 13 people. We can't go to 13 places. So we need to narrow this down. And we just felt God tell us, wherever you want to go, I will use you. The need for the gospel is everywhere. So we started crossing things off the list for every which reason, whether they were serious or silly, for reasons like Nathan is tone deaf, so there went most of Asia for language learning wise, to till we got down to the end, and it was mountains versus beaches in our two places we had left. So Slovenia is full of mountains, and that reminds Nathan of home here in North Carolina. And so that's what we chose. And then about a year later, we went on a survey trip to Slovenia. We met the team. We saw the need and how God would use us. Like right away, we saw the need for people to work with the kids. And that's what we had been actively doing in our church here. Right as soon as we got married, we became involved in the children's ministry. And so we were like, okay, that's God confirming that call. We got home from that trip and we needed to put the little fuzzy things on the bottom of the furniture to keep it from scratching up the floors in our house. And we turned over our dining room chairs to do that. And all of them that were purchased here in Hickory, the furniture capital of America, were all stamped made in Slovenia. And so we just felt God say, you know, you picked it for a silly reason. I confirmed it with a serious one, but I can also confirm with a silly reason too, because I'm a fun God. So he called us in that way. And we haven't heard him tell us to go anywhere else or that our time was done in either a serious or a silly manner. So we're still there 15 years on.
I love it when God does God winks like that.
Yep.
Like just a little fun confirmation.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, like, a lot of times you hear people talk about hearing God's voice and things like that, but it's not been that way in our lives. It's more been he uses the desires that he plants in us, and he gives us those desires for a reason, whether it's moving to Slovenia over Indonesia or using Legos for his glory. You know, he gives you desires so you can use the things that he's given you for him, and that's been mostly how he's called and used us.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay, so you guys have three kiddos.
They're
getting bigger every day.
They are.
So I think in the U.S., most people are not bilingual. We learn languages, but that doesn't mean we're fluent in both. Some are, but for the most part, not so much. Mm-hmm. But in Europe, most people are, right? Because you can switch between countries and you know a lot.
It depends on the country. And
okay.
In Slovenia, definitely so. But that's because it's such a small country that most of your media is in English. If you want to progress, it's helpful to know other languages. Like an example, your husband's a programmer. If you're doing anything in programming, programming happens in English. So you have to know another language.
Gotcha. So what is raising kids that are bilingual? What is that like?
I think the first time it hit me that we were raising intercultural kids was when they were really little, even before they had gone to school and they were playing house. And the older two were talking about like, oh, I'm going to buy this from you and I'm going to pay €3. And I was like, oh, they're playing in euro. That is so weird because I grew up playing in dollar and I just didn't think about the fact that, of course, they would play in euro. That's what they know. And then as they grew and went to school and I would catch snippets of them playing in the living room while I'm cooking dinner, they would play like 50-50 English and Slovene. And it was just really funny. It depended on where they learned certain things, whether they learned it in English in our home or whether they learned it in Slovene in the school. And that would determine how they were interacting with each other and what language they chose. And now that they've gotten older and they're progressing in the school system, they're taking even more language. So our son will take German in high school. He'll become fluent by the end of high school in German. Our daughter is taking Italian because her school offers it, and why not? That was her reason. And so they really have the opportunity to not just become bilingual, but now they're trilingual or multilingual because the technology is there, the teachers are there, the environment is there, everything is set up really easy for them to pick up and learn anything that they want. And we struggle with Slovene still. So they have it easy for sure.
But also, like, we have nothing to compare it to. So we never raise our kids only in America.
Right.
We've been in there since they were born. So we don't have really a good comparison. It's just what we know.
Yeah.
Our parenting struggles as they are. It's, yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay, so what are your favorite Slovene foods?
Slovene foods. They have kebab, or I think it's called shawarma, except it's done a little bit differently. So it's like our go-to fast food. It's excellent. The other one is čevapči, which is just like rolled pork and hamburger sausages. Those are pretty good. Mm-hmm. The ice cream is good. They have, I think it's called gelato, and that's pretty good too.
So I remember you taking me to get some when I visited. Yeah. It was really good. It was fun. So we talked about your ministry and with Legos and everything, but that's not how you started out in Slovenia. So how has it transformed over the years, your ministry? And how did you guys begin to incorporate Legos into the ministry part?
So we started as church planters and working with a lot with kids trying to get a church plant. And we realized it just wasn't our gifting. That's why I'm all in about using God-given desires and God-given talents for. And when you see someone with those combined in ministry, it's amazing because you can just see God created this person for this purpose. And we weren't there. We were, my friend described it the best. He's like, it was like we were playing, we were a band and we had all the instruments we needed, the best instruments we needed, but none of us knew how to play them. So like the first, I'd say at least 5 years or more, that's what we were doing. And in the missions community, there's a lot of talk about, oh, just persevere, which there's a difference between perseverance and stupidity. And we were going on the stupidity side and ignoring the fact that our music sounded terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it was destroying everyone on our team. It was horrible. So then that team kind of just folded, blew apart. Obviously, if no one's good at what they're doing, it's not sustainable no matter how much you want to preach persevere. So, and close to this time, we also started doing the Lego ministry, and we're like, this is a whole lot more fun and a whole lot less stressful. So we kind of felt more called to that, but we were kind of like, felt like we're encumbered by this bad team relationship that we had. So when that fell apart, we kind of went full into not only Lego ministry, but more of supporting the church that's there instead of trying to plant a new church. And when we made that shift, it was like God gave us peace and joy, and we're like, hey, we can do this.
Yeah, so the Lego ministry, our portion of it didn't start exactly during that time, but our involvement in what was already there started then.
Yeah.
So there was a man that was coming from Germany, and people could rent his combi van full of Lego, and he would drive it down. But, you know, you had to pay for his gas and the tolls and a place for him to stay while you're borrowing them, and the cost was just quite great. And we would volunteer at the events when he would come down. We would help the other local missionaries and other churches to be the volunteers that they needed to make the event function. And then that particular team acquired a teammate, a family that came from the States with a huge Lego collection. The idea was, we're going to do this in-house. We're going to cut that financial piece out and have it here for us to do whenever we want. And then other people can do it. So that family went through language school. They got all done. They got ready. They did their very first event. And then they announced that they couldn't stay in Slovenia. They had some family things they needed to take care of elsewhere. And so they packed up and left. But at that event, our whole family was there volunteering. And I looked at Nathan and I said, I think we might have enough Lego to do this on our own. He said, no, I don't think we do. I said, I really think we do. What's the harm in trying? So we did our first event and we had more than enough Lego for the kids that came to that event. And it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of kinks to work out at the beginning because that was us learning how to be the administrators and the coordinator of the event and learning how to express what was needed from a host that would invite us. So we spent the first couple of workshops and events that we did just figuring things out and how it would best work. And we worked specifically with the team that had originally invited that German man because they had been working the longest and they could give us tips and tricks and guidance along the way. So we fine-tuned it with them. And we went to do our very first solo event without them. It went off great. And the next week, COVID hit. And I know that things didn't shut down quite so harsh here in the States as they did other places, but we were right next door to Italy, and that was a huge hotspot. So Slovenia shut down absolutely everything. It was the country was frozen, in essence. And so the question became, can you sanitize millions of Legos and can you social distance 60 kids trying to play in the boxes all at the same time? And the answer was no. So we had to shift gears even then. And that's when Nathan created the YouTube channel Bite Size Bricks and started creating videos rather than just providing the host with still frame pictures they would use to tell the Bible stories at our events. He started creating the videos and writing the stories so that those videos could be used by anybody all throughout COVID. So he was doing that. We started getting them translated. And then COVID restrictions lifted and we were able to get back in to the local communities and start doing these workshops again. And they've just exploded since then. We've seen God really bless the ministry. We've seen him bless the different areas that we've gone into with this ministry. Children being reached that wouldn't otherwise have been reached before. And we bring the Lego and then we leave at the end of the workshop, the people who are there volunteering and hosting, they're still making ongoing connections with these kids and their families. And we hear back a year or two later testimony of things that are still happening to this day because we came in and brought some toys for the kids to play with and opened up the opportunity for them to hear the gospel message. So this is one of our joys. It just came out of having Lego and being willing to share, mm-hmm. being willing to use what God already has given mm-hmm. us, being willing to expand upon the abilities and giftings he's already given us rather than trying to recreate the wheel, rather than trying to go in and do the same thing that the other missionaries in the city are already doing. He gave us the opportunity to do something different, which stands out.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So it's an in-person ministry mm-hmm. and it's an online ministry. Mm-hmm. And I mean, clearly podcasting is that way as well.
Well, we're in person.
We're in person. People listening are not in person. Yeah, so talk a little bit about Bite Size Bricks and like what are the challenges and what are the encouragements of like navigating a YouTube channel?
So they're kind of both together. Like you look at your view count and you're like, oh, that's really low when you look at like the major channels like How Ridiculous or something like that. And you're like, or even whatever Bible story is like some of these big mega churches produce.
Right.
You're like, oh, that's horrible. Maybe I should just quit. But then on the other side, you think, I made a video about the Tower of Babel, and I couldn't tell that story to this many people ever.
Mm-hmm.
So on that spin, you're like, I have reached more people with my Bible stories than I ever could tell in person. But then I think comparison is like the most evil thing about it.
Because I think so too.
Then you look and you're like, I'm not doing anything. Mm-hmm. YouTube won't even pay me yet, you know?
Yeah.
And so there is a lot of just doing it because I enjoy telling the Bible stories, or and I want people to have access to good Lego Bible stories.
Yeah.
And
that's awesome. And I'm thinking about like what you guys are saying with about spiritual gifts and desires and things that you enjoy. And like, you and I know this, but the listeners may not, that you and my husband grew up together playing in the basement. Like our whole basement is a Lego basement. When you guys moved to Slovenia, you gave us them all. So our basement is just full of Legos. And so since like, 40 years ago, you had a love for Legos. Well, maybe not that long, but.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those silly things that just shows God's character. It's like, what kid doesn't wish to have like a entire humongous Lego city when they grow up? And God's actually given me that. I don't have the space. We live in an apartment, so I can't actually set up a Lego city in my apartment. I kind of want to like build everything and see what it looks like, but I don't have that opportunity. But I get to share it with kids, and I get to see them enjoy my Legos. And I think that's part of the trap, is when you keep your desire to yourself, you keep the things that God gives you, God's blessing, to yourself, and you don't share it. So in one sense, he gave me my desire that I've had all my life, but in another sense, it looks nothing at all what I imagined it to look like.
Yeah. Yeah. I took myself off on a tangent, but to do with the gifting thing, I was thinking about how sometimes with podcasting, it can also be discouraging of like, well, I can't get out there. I don't have the funding. I'm a one-woman show. And then right about the time that I feel discouraged, I get some kind of notice from somebody who's like, you know what? This one episode is exactly what I needed to hear. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. It's not about the numbers. It's about that the Lord is using it. And I think the beauty about the internet, or about, you know, smartphones or whatever, is that anybody all over the world could access that, and God could bring it to anybody who needs it. And that's amazing, because that's not going to happen necessarily in a room where you're doing Lego ministry. But as long as it's there, it could be used 10 years from now for somebody.
And they're conversations that you wouldn't necessarily, let's say you have an old friend from college that's listening to your podcast, and it's not the conversation that if you run into them, you'd be like, hey, let me tell you about this.
Right.
But God gave you that opportunity to have that conversation because of our technology today, which I think is cool.
Yeah, it is. So the gifting thing, how, I mean, this is something that we were actually studying in a Bible study this summer at my church, is like spiritual gifts. And I think sometimes people get stuck about like, what is my spiritual gift? Or like, what am I good at? So how do you kind of figure that out? Or how did you guys stumble into some of that? Of like, this is the right fit and this is where God has called me.
Well, we spent many years working in something that was not the right fit.
That'll do it.
We also took a lot of those spiritual gifts tests and in college, because we went to a Bible college, and that's just the cool thing to do when you're in ministry. Right. You take those tests. When we first signed into our original organization, we spent a great deal of time going through like spiritual gifts tests and personality tests and all of these kind of things. And so we had a knowledge of what our giftings were even back then. And to say that we weren't fully, we weren't operating in our gifts in the first part of our ministry, that we were still doing things that we were gifted at. It just wasn't the church planter part.
Right.
And that was a pretty major thing. So God was still using us and still reaching people, just not to the end goal that we had set up as a team to do, to plant this church. So even then, God was still using us. But now we run through this question with the people at our church. And, okay, what are you gifted at? What are you good at? What has God given you? And the response we get back is, well, I'm not good at anything. I don't have a spiritual gift. I don't know what my giftings are. And we can look at them and be like, no, you have a spiritual gift. And I'm pretty sure I could tell you what yours are, because we've hung out enough and we've done ministry together enough. You're just not confident in that calling God has placed you in. So it's clearing the way for other people to understand how they've been gifted and how God can use that, even if it seems minuscule and that it doesn't add up to someone else's gifting. Like Nathan said before, the comparison is a killer, and it'll stop people from doing ministry. So we try to operate as best we can in our giftings, but then encourage people along the way in theirs, mm-hmm. so that they can do different kinds of ministry.
And I think the gifting test, I don't think they're as, you can edit this part out if you don't like it. No, I don't think they're as helpful as we wish them to be.
Yeah.
Because let's say it says you have a gift of teaching. Well, then our preaching, and you have this idea in your mind of what that should look like. So you're like, okay, I have to try to do it this way. And you become miserable because it's not how God created you. Like, a while ago, I never say I had a gift of preaching, because I see what preaching is and I'm like, I can't do it that way. That's boring to me. Mm-hmm. But I can tell a Bible story and I enjoy doing that. So part of it was getting the presumption of what the idea actually was, mm-hmm. to learn what it means in my life.
Yeah.
The hard part about that is, and I think that's why also the desire part is important in the gifting, because they should line up, mm-hmm. and it should give you an idea of how to do your gifting.
Right. So to kind of go with that, so I believe that I have the gift of healing, or at least that might be one of mine, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but it's not over people's physical bodies. Mm-hmm. It's over their souls and mm-hmm, emotions mm-hmm. and like hard things that they've been through. And so if I were to put myself as a nurse, man, I would burn out. I would hate that job.
Yeah.
I don't like blood and guts. That's disgusting. Like,
yeah, patch yourself up before you come in here. I don't want to see that blood here.
But bring in your emotional mess and I can handle that. Like, yeah. Let's sort through it. And so you're exactly right. I think each of us are gifted, but the way in which the Lord uses us can be really different.
And I think healing is a great example of that, because we have this idea of healing should be done
like laying hands on people and then they're well.
Yeah, with a thing of motor oil and maybe not.
Olive oil or something.
Yeah. Let's go with olive oil. It sounds better. And laying on the hands and all of a sudden like a limb grows back, where like people are torn up inside and they need that kind of healing just as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we should all open our eyes and broaden our ideas about what the Lord is calling us to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good word.
We put him in a box, but I think we also put ourselves in a box as well. We limit on both ends.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
We need to stop limiting ourselves as well as stop limiting God and what he can do through us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so speaking of what the Lord can do through us, this season on the podcast, my theme is resilience. That's what the Lord, I feel like, called me to this season, and I'm not sure all of what that's going to mean yet, but like the world has been through a pandemic. There's a lot of chaos in our country and across the world. Mm-hmm. People are really burned out and tired, and there's like discouragement and anger and all kinds of things. And yet I feel like in the Bible, it talks about suffering, but it also talks about the Lord being with us, mm-hmm. about renewing our minds day by day, all these mm-hmm. kinds of things. And mm-hmm. so I'm thinking about what resilience looks like. I know you guys have been through some really hard things, like multiple things. I'm not even going to name them. I'll let you choose. Mm-hmm. But what has resilience looked like for you guys and in your spiritual walks and physical walks?
I think the biggest one.
Yeah, it is loaded.
I think one of the biggest ones, which we've already hinted at, is that transition in our ministry when we went from doing primarily church planting, which wasn't really happening, to the ministry that we're in today. We went through a period of just really hard times with our team. And during that time, we were being told by several people that, well, maybe you shouldn't be in ministry. Maybe it's time for you to leave. Maybe this is done. And even if it wasn't direct and outright telling us to leave, it was people pushing us in that direction. But we felt this frustration because we knew God hadn't released us.
We had just as many people on the other side telling us that we were in the right place. So we had a community around us also supporting us.
So we were able to rely on people around us, and I think that's key to resilience. and perseverance is you don't go through it alone. And so we had offers from several different people of, well, we know you, we know your character, and we know your quality and integrity. You could join our team. And we told all of them, we really appreciate that offer. We love your friendship and we want to preserve the friendship. So we chose not to take up those offers. And instead, when we changed organizations, we moved to a small independent one that allowed us the freedom to do what we felt God was calling us to do, but also placed ourselves under the authority of the local church that's there and the pastor that's there, which has been a huge blessing to us and a huge blessing to him. And I know that relationship wouldn't be what it is today if we hadn't chosen to do that. God has really honored that choice. And we've gotten to see the results of persevering and pushing through and having that community around us who still stands by us. And when we get discouraged, like you said, you can get discouraged sometimes in doing the podcasting or when we're putting out videos or whatever the ministry is, when we don't see the results that we feel like we should be seeing for the effort that we're putting in, God's really great at putting people in your path that will give you the word of encouragement that you need at that time to keep going. Again, the community. So we've had several people over the course of years come up to us and comment to us how unique our lifestyle is in their eyes. That we, yes, we're American. Yes, we're missionaries. We're foreign. But we live like one of the Slovenes. And that makes a difference in how they perceive us and how they work with us and what they're willing to receive from us in ministry. And we know that's all God as well. But those words help us to push forward because ministry is hard and life is hard. And without those words, without remembering our original call, the excitement and the joy in that, without God placing those little moments of remembrance in our lives, we would have given up a long time ago. I think it's the reason why you see in all of the Old Testament stories when the Israelites were wandering and God would tell them, pick up the stones and make this remembrance pile, because he wanted them to be able to look back and see how he had carried them through and tell these things to your kids and the grandkids and their grandkids and keep it going from generation to generation, because it's a community thing. It was never supposed to be in isolation. Mm-hmm. And he knew that from the beginning.
I think another part of it is promise and faith. If you look at the life of Abraham, he was given a promise, and then it was his faith in that promise over and over again. And for us, we can use the word calling. Again, in the Old Testament, it would have been promise, but when God gives you something, you have to have faith that he will get you to the end, because there are times over and over again that I couldn't say that it was my resilience. It's not my abilities or charisma or anything. The riz.
Yeah.
It's not really any of that, because I don't have a lot of that. It's just the promise that God has given me and the faith that he will hold true to his word,
mm-hmm.
and provide for us and prepare the way before us.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad you guys brought up community specifically, because that's one thing that I've been thinking about as far as resilience, like that the Lord didn't make us to walk alone. And when I'm thinking about resilience, there's a psychological term for that. And I think the Lord has put that inside of us as far as like, we will try to thrive and survive no matter what. Mm-hmm. But with his spirit, and which is what you're talking about, like mm-hmm. we are more than conquerors and we can keep mm-hmm. on going, you yeah. know. Because he encourages us along yeah. the way. But I personally, at least, in ministry, I can get discouraged. But like when something physical is happening or something in mm-hmm. my family, it almost knocks me out. Mm-hmm. So I know you guys have been through pieces of that, too. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about any of that?
Yeah. So I've always been healthy. Like I would get sick like once a year, and it was like, oh, my nose is running. I need to blow it now. And that was my sickness. Or I'd eat at Burger King and throw up for the evening and then decide never to eat there again, you know? It was typically stuff like that. But several years ago, we had a leak in the house, water got everywhere, mold was growing, and I ended up catching pneumonia. But I didn't realize it, and because I'm stubborn, I just kept going on. Oh, it's just a cough. To the point I only had 55% of my lungs working, and I'm like, I'm about to pass out walking up these stairs. This is not normal. And I spent a week in the hospital, and you know it's bad when you take a breathing test and the nurse is like, so how many packs of cigarettes do you smoke a day? And you're like, I've never smoked in my life. So I ended up with asthma at the end of all of it. So, like, my lungs are terrible. I've been told I have the lungs of a 65-year-old, and that was 10 years ago. So maybe my lungs have aged more, or maybe they just stayed the same. I don't know. But now, if I get a simple cold, it'll knock me out for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And most of those 3 weeks are praying for my next breath. Mm-hmm. And really, I think God has a way of both finding our idols and keeping us on our knees. Our it's like I had this idol of health that as long as I had my health, I was good. I didn't have to think about it. I was just, you want to run a mile? Sure, we can run a mile. Now I'm like, you want to run 10 feet? You go for it. I'll watch and breathe heavily for you. But through that, like, I've been really humbled because I just can't. There's a lot of things that I just can't. In a way, it's the Red Sea falling back down because there are things that I can never go back to. Like, I'm a carpenter by trade. I can't do that. I physically cannot do that. I would kill myself if I tried. So it's just like when the Red Sea closed, the Israelites may have the desire to go back to Egypt, but they couldn't really because the sea closed. And so in a way, it was God telling me that this is your way forward. You can't look back anymore. Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of reliance on him, but not in a fun way, goodness.
No, and it's double-handed because in one way, it forces me to rely on God. But on the other hand, I struggle with why. Like, you give everything up, you serve God, and then you get this. And so that has been a struggle of like, come on, God, mm-hmm. is this how you treat your children, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Yeah. And for me, it's been my health issues have been, for years, it's always been like headaches and migraines. And during the last pregnancy, unbeknownst to me at the time, it triggered autoimmune disease. And I can look back now and see the triggers and the side effects and how things have kind of built up over the years. But trying to get help for that when your language is limited, It was, medical stuff is always difficult, and it was a new thing for me at the time, going in and trying to get this evaluated and diagnosed, and then COVID happened, and everything shut down, and I couldn't get in, and I couldn't get anything evaluated and diagnosed. And then when I finally did, when things lifted enough for me to get into the right specialist, the diagnosis was made, and then nothing else was said. And I was sitting there thinking, okay, well, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to take care of this? Because I know this runs in my family, and my family members get this checked multiple times a year to make sure they don't need to be on medication, or if they are, that they don't need to have their medication adjusted. And I wasn't told I needed any medication. I was just told, yep, you have this, have fun. And that was super frustrating because you've got this basic knowledge of, no, there's got to be more and I need more help. So I started doing self-research and doing what I could diet and exercise wise to maintain a comfortable lifestyle, but feeling really frustrated and exhausted at having to do all of the medical evaluation myself and all of the upkeep myself. So I want to be healthy for my family, but I can't keep doing it all on my own. So this time that we're in the States, I was able to get a good functional medicine doctor that has helped put me back on the right track and seeing, well, it's not just that I have this autoimmune disease, but that I have these other issues as well, and they're all working together against me at the moment. So getting set on the right course, it's like, oh, there's hope. I didn't have to be doing this all on my own, and it's so great to know that there is someone here that can properly help and guide. Nathan's doctors have been great in that area with the asthma and the pneumonia. It's just the medical system is difficult to navigate. And that's been a struggle for us. And like he said, we've been typically healthy before that. We've not had to navigate a medical system here, there, or anywhere. And now all of a sudden we're faced with these issues and these struggles, and it's limiting. When he's sick, he's not going out and doing anything else for fear of being immune compromised. When I have a migraine, I can't function. I'm done. I can't do anything. I have to cancel everything. And it's like, okay, if I'm not doing the ministry that I know God is calling me to, why am I sitting here in this bed suffering like this? Like, there's got to be something different. And that has been hard for both of us. But we also see how God has helped us through that and given us what we needed when we've needed it in those hard times, helped us to find the right doctors when we have needed to, given us the prompting and the push to find second opinions and to take care of ourselves better, and so that we can do more ministry for him and that we can be a good family to our kids and, yeah, just to live in where he's called us.
So how can we pray for you guys?
Health stuff for sure.
Always health.
Always health stuff. That's always like the number one. Yeah. Ministry stuff, just what we've talked about today, just being able to get out into these communities that are unreached, literally unreached. The population of Slovenia is around 2 million people, and just over 1% of those are evangelical believers. That's a really, really small number. And there are some communities in our country that have never heard the gospel. And that's really sad. So we've been excited to be invited into some of these areas with the Lego ministry. So you can pray that we continue to get those invitations and that the kids continue to come out from all of those small corners that we otherwise wouldn't be able to reach, nor would the other ministries and missionaries around the country. So that's a huge one.
Yeah.
And then it's our, the financial situation is always something that we pray over. So we are financially supported by individuals and churches, known as commonly known in the mission circle as faith-based missions. And we've never been fully supported in that. God's always provided what we need when we've needed it. And it can be stressful at times to look at the numbers and be like, oh, how is he going to get us through this? But that financial support is what allows us to be there to do these things. Mm-hmm. He's provided the physical needs that we've needed all along, the van to transport the Legos to do the ministry, the giftings that we are using to be ministers of the gospel. But sometimes it's like, okay, are we going to be able to be here for another year? I don't know. The economy is hard everywhere. So just praying for that financial support, for the stress that comes with it, that would lessen, that we would have more faith and trust in him for his provision. Because we do, we know he provides. We've been here for 15 years and he's always provided, but that's still something that's really hard when you see the numbers not lining up.
So if people want to know more about your ministry, online or otherwise, how can they find you? Plug yourselves away.
Bite-sized bricks. Look it up on YouTube.
And I'll link to that in today's show notes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And
you can leave a comment on one of the newer videos. The older videos were marked for kid. You can't leave comments on those. But the newer ones, we've removed that so that conversation can happen. So if you leave a comment, Nathan will see that and we can get in touch that way. And he also has an Instagram.
Nathan.Weiler.
Nathan.Weiler. And I think those are the easiest ways to start getting in touch. And from there, we can figure out other venues of conversation.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for sharing your stories. Anything that you wanted to say you didn't get a chance to?
No, my wife says a lot, so we'll probably can.
Thanks again, Nathan and Dawn, for being on today's podcast episode. You know, I love hanging out with you guys. I always enjoy our conversations, but I'm especially grateful that you shared your story in such a way that our listeners could also hear. Friends, if you're into Legos, or if you have kids that are, or if you have kids at all, I hope you go check out Nathan's YouTube channel, Bite Size Bricks. Go subscribe so you'll get all the videos as they come. And you can also find him on Instagram at Nathan Detweiler, and I will link to both of those things in today's show notes as well. This conversation gave me lots to think about, and I hope that you're coming away with lots of things to think about too, like about spiritual gifts, about resilience, about suffering, about reliance on him, so much more. And I also hope you'll continue to lift up Nathan and Dawn in your prayers as well. Well, now I'm going to transition to Pause Renew Next and the ways that you can support this ministry. The first way is, if you enjoy this episode, I hope that you'll go and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform if you're not already subscribed, so you don't miss an episode. If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with a friend. You can also go on to your favorite podcast platform and give us a good review. That's one easy way for new people to find this podcast a little more easily. And you can donate to the podcast at buymeacoffee.com/pause. That's buymeacoffee.com/pause. Well, that is all for today's podcast episode. I'm so glad you joined me today, and you can look for a new episode in 2 weeks. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, renew, next. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.